there will be a brief meeting immediately after class today in the boardroom for all grounds workers, including those serving on the grounds crews, special projects, and those performing any other grounds work. Please be there. This is an example of you gave your word that you'd be out here. Now, obviously, God doesn't expect things that are beyond our control, totally beyond our control. So if you break a leg, you don't have to be out here. But otherwise, you need to step up and make the application. It makes it easier for the other guys to get here if they're not shorthanded. It's all the obvious stuff. And so with less people to a pool of people to do this, we're still going to get it done. And we always have at Maranatha Church, and I'm in the right way proud of you for that. Throughout history, you've always made it happen here. And so God will help us, and we'll be able to deal with any shortfalls we have with regard to members and application. All I ask you to do as an individual is pray to God. If there's anything beyond what I do that I can do to benefit this local church in terms of keeping this property like it is and doing whatever that you be sure that you've searched your own heart and make any applications you can make, as I know many of you have in various ways. And some of it doesn't have to be, I'm not telling you all to get out here and push a mower by any means. This is in general with regard to the things that need to be done. We do God's work, what's in front of us. And whatever we have, much or little, we'll take care of it. More people don't necessarily mean more volunteers. Some people don't apply no matter what. They just occupy a seat. I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on you. I'm just trying to say, do what you are led of God to do. And if you agree to that, then be sure you keep your word and do what you have to do. And it may be something small, minor, but what's small and minor? I don't know what that is. Some people, you can count on them like clockwork. They're going to get it done because they're occupied with God and they know they're serving Him. Now, you serve Him on your job, you serve Him out there, yes. I'm just talking about the benefits us and being able to be here and function like we do. But your heart has to be in it. If your heart isn't in it, then forget it. This isn't going to happen. Your heart has to be in it. I'm going to serve God. This is where I am today. This is the circumstances. This is card playing analogy. This is a hand I've been dealt. But it's a winner. It is a winner if you play it right. Okay? Let's, again, God protects believers from the sins of the tongue. This is another attack that comes against believers. Jesus was the object of sins of the tongue. Awful stuff. Awful stuff. In league with the devil. I've been accused of being under the influence of the devil and lost my mind. I need help. Yeah. Oh, well. You like to be liked by everyone. You like all that, but it doesn't always happen. Okay. As soon as I find the book, we'll cite Job here. Job 5. As noted, the tongue sets in motion a lot of things. It's like a little spark that starts the big forest fire. James's analogy. By a lot of different things in history that could be cited as a result of some speech or something somebody said. It started a process, a juggernaut of evil that was spreading like a forest fire. Got the right verse. This is one of Job's friends has this extended speech. This is where they're trying to get Job to confess to something he didn't do. And there and his friends, to reiterate, his friends are not malicious. They're not malicious people. They are his friends, so that tells you something right off the bat, that they were okay believers. They're among the righteous, among the wise. They couldn't be putting forth all this information if they were a bunch of dummies. Job did not hang out with dummies. His friends were positive, but they got off track. It's very easy for even a good believer to get off track in an area and get themselves in trouble. Not the usual kind of trouble you think about, but just because you made up your mind as groupthink. Because they had to have gotten together before they showed up where Job was out there on that dunghill. They'd had to have a conference. They came from different places and met when they heard about their friend and what had happened to him. In that sense, they're good friends. I don't want to characterize them as just awful people. They're anything but just awful. They're not awful people. They're among the righteous. They're among the wise. But they got caught up in this thing. Nobody put the brakes on and said, what if he hasn't done anything to merit this kind of suffering? He hasn't involved himself in any form of STA evil to merit this. What if that's the case here? See, when you start rejecting certain options and won't consider them in a situation, you leave yourself open to being taken in. That's what they did. So they're pressing him because they want to help him. It's very tempting when you see a believer coming under a bunch of suffering to conclude that it's for sin. Doctrine says you back off. Now, if you know something so obvious and it's clear out that there was nothing obvious here, there was no proverbial smoking gun. There was no smoking gun. Yes, believers, even good ones, get under severe divine discipline for STA activity. Notice that in our Bible. God moderates all that. God sits over it. He knows all that goes on in a person's mind and actions. And he merits out the discipline accordingly. It may be a while in coming, but it will come. But Job didn't do anything. Job was an innocent bystander. They got caught up in a thing, unbeknownst to him totally, that was his test, in a little contest between God and Satan. Well, you know who's going to win that one. But Satan's so stupid, he'll step into anything. And so all this is dropped on Job by the devil, hands on. God permitted him to do this. This is one of the biggest tests, I think, of being a Christian in this world. And see what God allows. It could really cause you to be jaundiced against God. That God lets all this stuff go. All this incredible evil run amok over the earth. And to the superficial observer, you and I, it appears that he isn't doing anything. Oh yeah, this person gets it in the neck, but they're going to die anyway. But he doesn't shut this stuff down in mass. But when he does, you have a great flood. That caught up with all of it, didn't it? That ended that. And now we're waiting for the tribulation, when he's going to bring all this evil down. It's just sitting there waiting. Yes, individuals get it, but the same organizations and the same type of evil that's running amok all over the earth just seems to be going fine without any problems. Well, they're going to have some problems. and all those out there that have neglected sound doctrine, believers included, they're in for a shock too. They think they can go to churches with this watered down Christianity, lukewarm, I call it, and that's just A-OK because they're fat, happy, and content. And they're, oh yeah, this is good. Oh, wasn't that a great sermon? Because they're withholding from them other information. Because if they put out all of it, they'd leave. They'd be out of there so fast, or they'd get a different pastor. They'd dump him. Always keep these things in front of you. In the last days, they will not endure sound doctrine. This is a characteristic of our time. You'd think out of the millions of believers that are in America and all of them that are in Oklahoma, there'd be more positive volition. I mean, it's kind of shocking. Maybe it isn't to you. It is kind of to me that you don't find more positive volition. That kind that you can really say, hey, that guy's positive. So back to Job. Job's friends got themselves in a wrong place because they did not entertain the possibility that Job was innocent. They could have went to him and probed the issue. He kept telling them that he didn't do anything. Ordinary everyday sins don't get you out of here on a dunghill with your health wrecked and 10 kids dead. God does not administer discipline in that kind of fashion, or we'd all be toast. You said, not me. Yes, you too. We'd all be toast. Thank God he moderates it. He is a father over his children, and he disciplines them accordingly. You just and I have to be smart enough to know when it's divine discipline or it's just some kind of suffering. Just because you get a sore throat doesn't mean it's divine discipline. Unless you've been running your mouth against people. Then maybe you have a big fistula in the side of your mouth. Because sometimes God makes it so clear. People said, yeah, I was running my mouth about someone, raised up, hit my head, and got a big bump on it. Because it was bam, bam. It was connected to what I just did. So I would be unmistakable that it was DD. And of course you paused and said, thank you, God, you got my attention. I confess that mess. So Job's friend here has this extended speech, and in it, he attributes to Job see, he has this doctrine right, but he's applying it to the wrong person. Get verse 17. Behold, how happy is the man whom God reproves. Do any of you like to be reproved? Called down, called out, rebuked? However it comes, whether it's one-on-one from somebody. No, it's not particularly a fun moment because you have an STA and they're telling you something that's true, but you and you're getting hit over the head with words. But how happy is the man whom God reproves? Whatever means he uses for that reproval. Now, he's not going to talk to you directly necessarily, but he does speak to you through the teaching of the Word of God. Oh, I got nailed on that. Just have the ability to sit out there, and take it like someone is trying to help you fix something. This went against you. Don't harden your heart to it. Yeah, that's me. I did that. I got to work on that. I got to extradite myself from that kind of activity. That's reproof. Chewed out. However you want to put it. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. He's talking to Job. He's accusing Job of despising the discipline of the Almighty. But he isn't under DD. He isn't under punitive suffering. So he has the right doctrine and the wrong subject. Clearly. He has the doctrine down pat. It just doesn't apply to Job. Oh, what did you do? That's where the STA wants to go. Because it takes a certain enjoyment of building your righteousness on someone's supposed unrighteousness. What did you do? Well, if you didn't do anything to merit that, to your knowledge, you don't confess to something you didn't do. You don't make up something. For he who inflicts pain and gives relief. There's the doctrine. coming right out of this friend of Job's mouth. Perfect. We wouldn't argue with that at all. He inflicts pain and then he gives relief. He wounds and his hands also heal. From six troubles he will deliver you. Even the seventh, evil will not touch you. This is kind of a proverbial, kind of a little way of saying things. It's kind of tricky and you've got to get your head into it, but I'd have to go back and visit it in a little more detail. In famine, that's economic distress over a population. In biblical times, brought on by the absence of food due to usually the absence of rain, producing a famine. A famine would come real quick on our civilization if it wasn't raining out there in all those farms and fields. Where do you think all those trucks drag all this stuff into these supermarkets? They don't have some big hideaway out here. It's a whole chain of a process. And bad harvests and bad crops, the pinch then begins. That's a famine. You see them in the Old Testament. God said to Israel, you act up and I'll give you warning discipline, a famine. I'll hit you right in your stomach and you will know it. But if you turn back to me, confess your sins, step back from usually idolatry, the rains will come. In famine, he will redeem you from death. And in war, from the power of the sword. He protects believers in times of warfare. I saw a thing on war. It's revising history to make it fit the way where it really went down. And it's very good. Some of you want to see it. Certain things. This was a guy who was exposing. He exposes certain things for your consideration, because you've been taught something else in school. What's the saying? The victors always write the history after the fact. Yeah, and they glorify themselves, and they suppress any of the wickedness that they had done. That's this nature of things. So you get this little version in school of a heroic event which wasn't that heroic because of the crimes committed by the victors along the way. Genocidal crimes. Exposing evil. Exposing lies. The kind we get in our little history course in school. Because they don't want you to know the real truth and what was behind all this. That upsets the apple cart for those that are pushing who are the war party. Nations figure out ways to do that and make it look sanctified to the population. As heroic and patriotic and 100 other things. We have some real traitors in our history at the top. You understand? You can't understand how men do this, but they do it. But there's any of these other big sins out there. Mass pedophilia. How do they do this stuff? You'll be hidden from the scourge of the tongue. Imagine that you were the object of a massive verbal hate campaign, attributing to you things you didn't do, maybe you did do, and put this whole package together and just to try to wreck your reputation on the internet. And you're under the attack. Now, we all see the dangers in war. We all see the dangers in famine. He says, from the doctrine you have, if you were to come under this kind of verbal assault, you'll laugh at it. Let them run their mouths. Let them talk it up. Talk, 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 talk. That's laughing it off. He said, I don't know if I could do that. You're in God's plan. You're a believer. You're positive. Let them say what they want to say. And you'll not be afraid of wild beasts. Wild beasts. There's dangerous animals out there. whether they're in the form of an insect working its way up the ladder. God controls those animals too. Someone can be in a situation where they're facing a very mean, bad pit bull that they didn't put themselves out there. Or a wasp buzzing around your head. You think God controls that? Oh, I can't control that blow. He will protect you from wild animals. People just freak out. For you'll be in league with the stones of the field, and the beasts of the field will be at peace with you. You will know that your tent is secure, for you will visit your abode and fear no loss. And on it goes. It talks about Job, this is a future for you. You just need to get past this. So that was my God protects us from the sins from those who attack us. That's another type of persecution and attack that believers are going to face. Psalm 31. This is for people who are anti-conspirators because they've been either brainwashed and or intimidated. I told you in the first session that Satan sponsors lies. He's out to deceive people in a million different ways. You hide them in the secret place of your presence from the conspiracies of man. You keep them securely in a shelter from the strife of tongues. Psalm of David, who was obviously the object of verbal and other types of attack. He did things that they could use against him too. Well, his big Operation Bathsheba thing, they're never going to let that go. They cannot let that go. They got to make all the ground, all they can get out of that one. Milk it for all it's worth. But in the end, David comes out on top. The conspiracies of men refer to schemes and things they perpetuate against humanity. And against, in particular, God hates believers. We're all signed for slaughter. He would kill us in a minute if he got the go ahead. We wouldn't last any time. He has to get permission to take any of us out in that way, through martyrdom and so forth, persecution. So the conspiracies of man. Satan is a conspirator, fomenting this. There are people who love conspiracy, are involved in conspiracy. People have never studied conspiracy and understand it on a large scale. And how you have the different levels of the conspiracy. Those who do not know, who are just works for the organization. Compartmentalization. I've had these people testify to this. This is the way it works. You don't know what the hell's going on until you get way up there. Not really. But you're getting a nice paycheck down here, so what are you going to argue about? It's the inner core that knows the whole dirty game. And then it filters down to the dupes at the bottom. They're just the propagandized dupes. Then there's the machination. Those are the ones that make it happen. They do the hands-on dirty work. And then at the top are the plotters. That's kind of a brief view of a conspiracy. And the way it works. And if you have control over a lot of things, you can push this. You've got to get control over the media. It's critical. You can't have a free press. You cannot. It's got to be in line. Yes, things slip through, but we'll deal with that. That's just damage control. That's why they're censoring the internet now on things, making it harder to find certain things. It's inevitable. There wasn't anything to it. What did they care? Well, we want to protect everybody from these things. That's, of course, their angle. So people can't judge for their own rational self if this makes sense or not. And when you get the information, you say, no, that doesn't make sense. Steel buildings do not come down like that from gasoline fire. engineers, architects, military people. Nope, never happened, not in a million years, reducing them to powder. When you start stacking up the facts, as in an investigation, you begin to see through the lies. And what they call the deep state. Did you know that the Pentagon can't account for about $7 trillion? It's admitted. Rumsfeld admitted about $3 trillion back in his deal, right before 9/11. What are they doing with that money? Good stuff for the rest of us, right? Right. But we'll get a little news report. Did you know last year that the Pentagon spent about several million dollars on lobster and crab meat? The corruption is unbelievable. This whole country is out of control. We don't even know what's in our best interest anymore. These monsters are running this thing into the ground. And the Russians are coming. Boy, are they coming. You ought to heard Putin's speech, like our president gives a annual speech, his equivalent of his Congress. You ought to hear the words that came out of his mouth. Either he is a complete fake, but the stuff what made a complete sense. Absolutely in every way. But you're not going to have it reported over here. Because we now are on a frenzy in this country of hate Russia. Demonize them in every way. Just keep poking that bear. While they build some of the most sophisticated military weapons you've ever seen. Because God is going to use this. And they are more righteous than we are. They're not into promoting LGBT all over the face of Russia. And they're hated because any nation acts any kind of righteous anymore. Oh, they're demonized. This isn't the Soviet Union of old that our Western bankers financed. I was reading some things. Look at the end of World War II. All these people are buddy-buddy. Eisenhower, he's in Moscow getting a Medal of Honor from Stalin. When did you not figure out that Stalin was a mass murderer of his own people? By the unknown millions. And what would you be doing over there? You're known by the company you keep. See, these are the things that don't come out in the open. Indefensible stuff. They're really our enemies. We just have nothing to do with them. But we carved up the world at the end of World War II. Churchill, Stalin, and Roosevelt. They're the players in all this mess. History is very different. The conspiracies of men. So you say, I don't know what to believe anymore. Well, I understand that. You watch the evening news. What are you going to take from it? I mean, if it's something innocuous, yeah. But something of this nature. And then Psalm 120. In my trouble I cried to the Lord. That's always the way to go when you're under the gun and being persecuted. And he answered me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. What will be given to you and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? Sharp arrows of the warrior with the burning coals of the broom tree. Now I'd take some explanation. Woe is me, for I adjourn in Meshech, for I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long has my soul had its dwelling with those who hate peace. You have to set a whole context here, and I got off a hand on this one. I have to go back in my notes. I don't know. I am for peace, but when I speak, they're for war. Sounds like something I'll be written over us. We don't want to live in peace. See, it's the new world order. George Bush Sr. said that. We're establishing a new world order in 1,000 points of light, whatever that meant. 1,000 points of light. Did anybody say, hey, Mr. President, would you please explain that Masonic term? No. If indeed it's Masonic. See, that's his tippy of his hat to this mess. And now we have perpetual war. Bombing, killing, regime change. Who we don't like tomorrow? Iran, Venezuela. Since when did they attack us? And we blame 9/11 on Saddam. He had nothing to do with it. He hated terrorists. The poor dummy. He's caught between this whole thing. Saddam. He had order in his country. Yeah, he could be brutal. The Kurds, the Shiites, and the Sunnis. They're all fighting each other, carrying on. He kept them at bay. They were becoming a prosperous nation, based primarily on oil. Well, that had to go. Today's friendly dictator is tomorrow's one we got to get rid of. We've been sticking our nose in other people's business for so long, it isn't funny. There's a book that was written by a general. War is a Racket. He was a 2-time Congressional Medal of Honor winner. He said, war is a racket. He said, I began to realize that in my rank as a general. He says, I realized why we're in South America. It was for a united fruit. something crazy. He's got a book. He read it. See, he's one in a million that came out. I think Patton figured it out at the end. That's just my supposition. I think Patton figured it out at the end. And I think that's why he never got back home. He figured it out. He figured out this grand scheme to establish this new world order. It's perfect. Satan doesn't want nations. So who is he going to use? He's got to use somebody that's powerful, it's got military, it's got wealth, it's got all this that we can expend all over the world. We're the rider on the white horse. And the rider on the red horse is Russia. And then the other two are the result of what happens when the red horse does its thing. The judgment is unprecedented in human history. No nation, no empire, no whatever. Yes, Sodom and Gomorrah went down dramatically. Boom, boom. But there's more to it than just boom, boom. You can go down to Sodom and Gomorrah now. You can vacation down there. I don't advise it. Someday you'll like the place. It's going to be just full of vegetation when God cleans up the Dead Sea. It won't smell like rotten eggs down there anymore. But this country, you can't even come back to the landmass. You can't even come back to a beach. It is off limits. It will be overgrown, jungle type, and animals will be flourishing like mad in it. But no son of man will be able to come back in there, salvage anything, go back to the ruins, go back, do this, do that, and start up, which they could. They could go back and do, because this country is, the geography of it, its river systems, it's just a perfect place for a very wealthy and powerful and rich nation to get going, as is evidenced by what happened in our history. But God isn't going to allow it. We're going to be persona non grata. We're going to be the subject of a proverb and derision in the millennium. Well, you're acting just like an American. Well, that's, it is. To the extent you exalt yourself over God, to that extent, you will be brought down and humiliated. Satan wants to rise to God. Satan will be persona non grata by the minions in the lake of fire and hell. He won't be welcomed. He will be. Do people talk in hell? And they're in a lot of pain, I understand. I mean, if you get in so much pain, you can't even talk. So there's a conversation. And woe, you who came down, who tried to exalt yourself above God. You're like us. You're nothing. You're nothing. You're worse than nothing. That's the end Satan is facing. And the demon order out there knows that this is coming very close. And they're real nervous. And they're very active. So be on your guard. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God the Holy Spirit enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen. No big deal, but I'd like to get my clock up here changed.